Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bringing you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Bleacher Report published a list of 20 trade candidates ahead of the NFL's November 4th trade deadline, which included Arizona Cardinals defensive lineman Calais Campbell. The Bears were listed as a top landing spot for Campbell. Would you give this trade the green light or red light?
I think I'm more worried about the fact that we even have to ask this question. That the Bears, after spending that much money on Montez Sweat, Grady Jarrett, and Dio Odengbo, where you're still even having to discuss this. And it's right to be discussing. So I think you have to be open, but the better question is, who's replacing who here? How would that go? Like, you're talking about a lot of money theoretically being exchanged if there's a contract involved.
Calais Campbell is how old again?
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I believe he's pushing 40.
He's currently 39.
So that would be pushing 40.
Man, that's on that Jason Peters plan, just on the defensive line version. That's what that is.
The short answer to this is, if it costs you very little, go get him. Go get whoever you can to help you. I believe defensively, the line, it's like pitchers in baseball. You can never have too many. Just go get them. Go get them. But also, is Austin Booker playing anytime soon? Like, I have questions about other guys on the defensive line that currently are on the Bears and whether or not they're going to be used in a certain way.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of strange, like trade that has to happen transaction-wise.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, edge versus defensive tackle, three technique, all these things. These are all different things and needs and everything else. But the bottom line is, if you're Ryan Poles right now, especially, let's say, because the trade deadline is, I believe, first week in November. So you've got less than 3 weeks until the deadline. If they mess around and win this week and they mess around and find a way to beat the Ravens on the road, you got to be all in on this season, do you not? It's a very broken NFC right now.
You have to be all in on the season based on other people who you sign to massive deals. Like, that's the other part of this. You know, it's not based on the contract of your most talented player, which should be your quarterback. In this case, it's you signed Montez Sweat to that contract. You know, you have to take advantage of those. Like, you don't make those big swings without thinking there's some sort of window here.
So the window itself, I believe, is the life of that rookie contract in terms of, like, your first window to win. And if you can get guys that can help you win while the quarterback, Caleb Williams, is still on that rookie contract, you just do it.
Text line says, does Arizona need a place kicker? Seems like we might have an extra one. They said yesterday the plan is that Cairo Santos will play once he is healthy. So just so you're aware.
So the NFL trade deadline is November 4th. And there will be 3 games the Bears have until then. The Saints game and the Ravens and Bengals game. So they have 3 games to prove if they're all in or not.
Yeah. Go.
And they're a big 3 games when you consider what the record could be. Like, you've got to be encouraged by what you've seen. The only thing that holds you back is perhaps the competitive level of the division. You know, that would mean, oh man, you're talking about at least that would be 2 wild cards out of 1 division potentially.
Yeah, they could. I expect them to have maybe 2 wild cards out of 1 division this year, based on what's going on. So, I think ultimately, if they win 2 of their next 3 games, they have to be buyers at the deadline. So go get what you can get to help you do what you need.
Also, just for clarification, there's a texter that is adamant saying that I skip showering. No.
Skip shaving.
I just don't shave every day in the shower.
I'm glad that you...
I'm sorry that it even has to be brought up, but, you know, people talk about showers on the radio and everybody gets all up in a tizzy.
Number 2.
Tizzy.
Do we prefer calling tonight's Bengals-Steelers game the Icy Hot Bowl or the Unk Bowl?
The icy hot bowl could actually, that actually could be a college football bit. Like, instead of qualifying for a bowl game, it's the players with the two, like, oldest average teams. You know, it's the two teams that have the oldest average age out of their players. And then they could call it the icy hot bowl. I feel like that would be fun. It's got to be the Unk Bowl, right?
There were other suggestions, by the way.
I just picture this. I picture a lot of standing like this after the game.
The Tiger Bomb Bowl live from the Metrodome, sponsored by Depends, Viagra, and Flomax. That was one suggestion.
I don't even know what Flomax is.
That's 515 on the text line.
That's somebody in marketing. That was way too good.
But there were other suggestions about what this thing should be called. The Bengay Bowl, the Reverse Mortgage Bowl.
The Reverse Mortgage Bowl.
So, yeah, I like, for me personally, the Icy Hot Bowl, because I think it hits better with that part of the population. Like, the Unk thing is more about the youth calling older people Unk. The Icy Hot thing is more about, like, the Shaq age, people who were raised on Shaq. Know exactly what Icy Hot is because Shaq told you about it back in the day, as like in now.
The Biofreeze Bowl.
Biofreeze Bowl. That works too.
Yeah, there's a lot of ailments that that I feel like can be cured with that. The Tiger Balm, though.
Listen, man, we all know what time it is.
At what age do you become Unk?
Oh, this is an excellent question. This is, I believe Anthony Heron also asked it because he got called OG. One day in public, and now, that worried him.
OG is above Unk in this, like.
Well, and Ant's older than us.
No, Ant's.
I thought he wasn't, but apparently he is.
No, Ant's like our age.
No, he's like a year or two older than you, I believe. I thought Ant was like 12.
Anthony Heron is 46 years old.
Oh, so, oh.
Yeah. That's why I'd be like, Ant, respect your elders.
Sorry, Ant, I just outed your age. My bad, Ant.
Marshall's a deceptor.
I knew he was my age if I wasn't even older. So, but what I'm saying
is. He looks like he's 12.
Yeah, Ant's black don't crack. Ant's good.
Oh, it's just his youthful smile.
Yeah, no, but seriously, with this game, I'm so intrigued to see what happens in this game. Because Joe Flacco, he didn't even have a week to get the playbook together. And you saw what he looked like in the second half of that game last week. It's like, oh, the Bengals aren't terrible, which is concerning. And we heard Mike Florio tell us yesterday, nobody wants to see Joe Flacco, an experienced quarterback, versus the alternative in Jake Browning.
The you want Big Browning Lou out there. Life Insurance Bowl?
Oh, not Big Lou. Wow.
Oh my God, 847 says that we started calling anybody over the age of 25 Unk.
Well, it's like when they asked the NBA players this, the rookies, and they were saying basically everybody was Unk that was able to like 25. Like, Unk. Devin Booker is Unk.
Oh, no.
Like, stop.
You know what? That's what happens when all you have is your youth, because we have, as humans, have decimated all of your resources and possibilities to prosper. So I guess go with it. I'm out here still side parting my hair.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score with Raheemy Harris and Grody. Mark Grody joins the show at 125, bringing us the latest from Halas Hall. And hey, programming note, hot off the presses, Cubs second baseman Nico Horner will join Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon at 3. Speaking of the Cubs, question number three, Kyle Tucker had a post on Instagram which read, quote, "Thank you, Chicago, for riding with us all year. Y'all's support was there no matter what, and we couldn't have done it without you," unquote. Here is the question. Does that sound like a guy who's coming back to the Cubbies?
I can't believe that for the second time today, we're having to evaluate athlete Instagram posts.
It's the world we live in.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like somebody who knows how to write a brilliant statement. He didn't commit to anything. He didn't decommit to anything. He just said, thank you. And I think he actually means it.
You know what he didn't say?
But you know what? That would work next season for another team. That would work next season for the Cubs. That would work this season for the Cubs. That's just good writing on his part. I tip my cap.
He didn't say, thank you, may I have another. He didn't say that. He could have said that.
If here's the thing. If I know I can make, I don't know, $25 more if I don't tip my hat, what do you think I'm doing?
Not tipping your hat.
Bingo. Secure the bag, Kyle Tucker. Good writing and good PR out of you.
Is your dollar millions in translation to Kyle Tucker's situation? So
yes. Yes.
$25 more versus $25 million more if you're Kyle Tucker.
Somebody said the other day, I think it was on Twitch, they were like, do you know how many Crunchwrap Supremes or Cheesy Gordita Crunches that buys? And I forget what the math was, but I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the math I'm here to do. So like, yeah, if I can get like two more Crunchwrap Supremes, if I just like phrase things better, guess what I'm gonna do? Phrase things better.
Yeah, I just don't think he's coming back. I think I'm resigned to that. And I would rather be pleasantly surprised than disappointed. You know? But I'm still dying at these names for this bowl game, by the way.
I can't. My favorite, every time I look at the text line.
Adrian and Oceanside, the Get Your Affairs in Order Bowl.
Oh, God.
Like, wow.
The It's Time for a Colonoscopy Bowl. Wait a second, but 45 is the recommended age now.
It's getting earlier and earlier now. Everyone get checked.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that, Robbie. Also, the Poly Grip Bowl.
The Little Rascal Bowl. No, y'all
somebody just said the Viejo Bowl, which I actually think is hilarious because that's just old in Spanish. Oh, my word. These are cracking me up.
Number four.
Before we get to our fourth question, everyone, listen up. Tune in tonight as Josh Giddey and the Bulls continue their preseason against the Timberwolves. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington will be on the call from United Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 right here on 670 The Score. Who put that in the copy?
Why did we let Robbie read that?
You know what? Robbie reads ads very enthusiastically. He does. Like, he's really good with his delivery. But also, we should try to just interview Josh Giddey. I feel like Josh Giddey should know how much Robbie loves him.
I have questions for Josh Giddey.
And he's Australian, so you know that the interview would sound cool because accents are fun. We should just try to get him on the show.
Let's do it before Wednesday. We'll get our guys on that.
Maybe we don't start with the question.
No, that's a nod.
Do you know Robbie loves you?
I mean, I feel like that should be the entire interview, but whatever. Question number four. Every year, the Boston Celtics hold a media scrimmage. This year, Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla made a slight change.
No, but I don't want to break it to you, but you're not playing against each other. You're playing against the coaches.
So, the Celtics media had to play against the Celtics coaches, and the Celtics coaches won 57-4. What would the score be if the media played the Bulls coaches?
I guess two questions. One, is Kendall Gill out there?
That's four. Who had the two buckets? That's the better question here.
But you know what? I appreciate this from a is this petty standpoint. You know, all year, we've got everyone from bloggers to, you know, actual beat writers to commentators, analysts, talking about teams and the decisions they make and the coaches should have done this and the coaches should have done that. Well, in this instance, all those media members had to face the fire. He's like, oh, you think you know more about basketball than me? Watch this.
I just die laughing. If I even got close enough for a layup, it would just be horribly blocked and I would just break down and start laughing.
And if you think that's bad that they did this, that Joe Mazzulla, that this was what he decided to do. And I covered this guy when he played basketball under Bob Huggins at West Virginia. Understand this. The Celtics social media team put out a video of the event the day of and then made a highlight reel the next day to highlight all of just the foolishness of these media members out here trying to guard former basketball players.
773 is correct. Casey Johnson can hoop. 773 on the text line is correct.
Okay, so you got Casey Johnson out there. You got Kendall Gill out there. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, Cam!
Cam Smith can hoop, yeah. He played at SIU.
And he's hosting
Joe Kelly's got six fouls to give.
Well, let's say like we made a score team, because I think I'd be on it. Basketball is my favorite sport. I think I'm the best here in the entire office at basketball.
I think
you would be on the team. I think we have Lawrence. I think if we had Gabe Ramirez, because I know Gabe plays a lot, now we just have to find our fifth man. And once we do that, then I think we have a run for our money.
Do you need somebody to turn over, miss shots, and foul?
Yes.
Then I'm your girl.
Right. Well, we also have some depth here because we've got Ant Heron who can be our big man down low. We've got...
Throw the bows in the paint, Ant.
Clay.
Oh, if we had Clay.
Yeah, we got Clay Harbor.
We have David Hall.
He's not that good at basketball, but he is big.
Yeah, no, wasn't that the Remy Martin crew? Like, David was a part of the
David
Remy
will
Martin
play.
Crew.
Oh, David
I want
Hall
Grody to be our enforcer. Like, he's the one who's like our Bill Laimbeer, hard screens, fighting people. You ain't my bee. And he's just going after people.
Yeah, listen, I always say I got 6 fouls to give. Other than that, I don't know what good I am.
But yeah, you think about it, and yeah, the Bulls coaches... They would definitely run us, but we would score more than 4 points. I'm confident in that. We would score more than 4 points.
57-4 is hilarious.
Number 5.
Last question here in 5 on it. Raheemy Harrison Grody. Mark Grody, he'll be here at 125 from Hallis Hall. What's the point of a dryer sheet?
Okay, this really has to do with a basic question of life. How many dryer sheets do you put in per load of laundry? So I started with one. You know, my mom taught me how to do laundry, and then I realized that was kind of pointless. One dryer sheet ain't doing much. So then I'll up the ante to like 2, 3, 4 per sheet per like dryer load.
Wait. Back up. How many?
Like 2 or 3 or sometimes even 4.
Why are you putting 4 dryer sheets in the...
Sheets and towels. I really want them to smell good.
That's way too many dryer sheets.
Yeah, I think probably, that's too many dryer sheets.
They're okay.
Like, is your like clothes and your towels like grimy and sticky and stuff afterwards?
No, because I don't do fabric softener. So like dryer sheets are my thing.
Yeah, the dryer sheet can take the place of a fabric softener in this instance. The reason I use a dryer sheet is because I hate static in my clothes, and that's the thing that I know gets the static out of the clothes.
So like let's say let's interview a rich person. Do you think a rich person uses a dryer sheet?
A rich person?
They're probably not doing their laundry, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I mean, like, does the person who does their laundry use a dryer sheet?
The better question is, we need to talk to a fluff and fold or something like that. Somebody who does laundry professionally. They would know what to do.
I just don't know if there's a purpose of it. I think we are all fools of big dryer sheet.
No,
I think they have us in their back pocket.
I even put them in my drawers to make them smell good.
Yeah, they have other uses.
And my luggage,
Robbie.
Actually.
I will do that, like, if I feel like my clothes, I'll, like, wipe it on my clothes. But besides that, like, I don't know if they really serve a purpose in the laundry.
No, they serve a purpose because the static thing is real. If you've ever had, like, staticky clothes because you forgot to put a dryer sheet in there, that's
Twitch chat is on fire about this.
Oh, what are they saying?
No dryer sheets for towels. I'm sorry. My towels have been great, and I wash and dry them and they're
well,
fine.
Well, I think dryer sheets, they have a bad effect on things that
absorbency.
Are supposed to absorb.
Yeah, but mine are good. They absorb well. Towel sheets or towels should not get softened. Fabric softener I am skeptical of. I don't use. Stop using liquid detergent.
Wait, stop using liquid detergent. There's other detergent.
I can't do that. My washer costs are high-end.
There's other type of detergent.
Powder. Yeah, Tide used to come in a box.
You can get a pod. You can do... There's so many different
ways.
I've
never heard of that. I've only done like the Tide.
Do you shop for your own detergent? You never looked around and seen what else is on that aisle?
Spam Killer says, destroys your sense of smell. No, you know what did destroy my sense of smell? COVID! COVID destroyed my sense of smell.
So one of my favorite things
somebody says Tide Pods taste great. Don't do it! Don't do it!
Don't do that. One of the basic uses of a dryer sheet is you can scrub away like the burnt stuck on food off pots and pans using a dryer sheet. Did you know that?
What about a sponge?
Sponges in his... abrasive. Although I use
SOS. There's better ways than a dryer sheet for that.
These are life hacks, Robbie.
You can also calm your pet, your dog that you got rid of, Robbie, during a storm. You can lift pet hair from clothes and furniture with dryer sheet. They work well in shoes.
708 is right about vinegar. Vinegar is an excellent fabric softener. It also cleans your washing machine very well.
Dryer sheets also can be used to clean electronic screens as well. There's so many uses for a dryer sheet.
I used to try and hide when I would smoke in the house when I was a youth, I would put like dryer sheets in a paper towel roll and then blow my smoke through there. And my mom had no idea.
Well, she does now. I'll make sure she gets this audio.
That's what a sneaky sneak.
Savvy move by me. All right, that was 5 on it.
Yeah, dryer sheet talk. It's big. A lot of people are talking about it. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We could talk about this and much more with Jarrett Payton. Of course, the WGN-TV sports anchor. You know Jarrett well. Jarrett joins us next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.